Welcome to the next episode of the Medicine of Being Human podcast. My name is Sina Maria, and I'm so grateful to be tuning in with you today. Every podcast that I record is a journey to get to. There's some level of initiation, some opportunities to learn and become closer to my truest self in every moment. So if you haven't noticed already, this is not the typical weekly publishing cycle that many podcasts go through. It's not very typical in any way. And I believe that's part of the medicine that I'm here to share. So if you're still listening and tuning in, I appreciate you being here very much. And I appreciate your patience and support as I'm getting all the pieces in place for this to really have a solid foundation. So I finished a photo shoot that I was taking for some cover artwork for this podcast this week. I just got the photos back. So my plan is to get that artwork going, and then I'll be starting to syndicate the podcast out to other podcast players. So Stitcher, CastBox, iTunes, all the ones that you might be using. So thank you for bearing with me as we're sticking with SoundCloud for now. And I'm really looking forward to getting this out to more and more people. So today I'm going to be talking about the recent Taurus new moon, Venus retrograde in Scorpio, what's happening in the stars right now, pulling on cosmic astrology, my own ascension work and path. And I'll also be talking about preparation for the next Stargate, the next portal that we're going through. I wanted to plug a little bit the last episode of my podcast, which is an interview with my ascension guide, Leah Henningsen. We did an Ascension Essentials webinar, and I've been working with her for the past 2.5 years and credit a lot of my remembrance to her and to her work in this field. She's a trained psychotherapist. She did that work for 10 years in a more traditional sense and has been consciously ascending since around 1999. So she's been on this path for almost 20 years, and she provides so much wisdom, and it's a soothing type of knowledge. She speaks directly to the struggle of the soul that many of us who are consciously ascending or waking up and maybe ascension curious, Leah speaks directly to a lot of the challenges with that, the challenges of being an awake human in this polarized reality right now for many of us. So we spoke about things like not wanting to be here and how depression is a pathology that often keeps us in a state of entropy rather than allowing us to embrace these periods, these cycles of contraction for what they are, and then moving through them. That was a really potent topic for the group. We talked about the earth and how the earth is ascending alongside us and how climate change plays into that and what is climate change from an ascension perspective. We talked about life purpose and what is ascension, and how it's not leaving this earthly plane to go somewhere else. It's actually bringing light and cosmic, the divine power, the divine source into our human bodies in this earthly plane right now. There is so much good stuff in there. So I highly recommend, if you haven't listened to it, to check that out. It's the episode right before this one. Okay, so we just had a Taurus full moon last week. I'm going to speak a bit about that. It may feel like it's old news by now. Yet, we're still very much integrating these energies, and it's part of a bigger prep for November 11th, which is a Stargate that I will be talking about shortly. So this first portion will be maybe a looking backwards and looking back, a time to harvest some themes and harvest some lessons that have come up for you in the past week or so, or even earlier, starting with Venus retrograde on October 5th. So we recently had a Taurus full moon, and there were a few really interesting pieces of this. So Taurus opposes Scorpio. So as the full moon is in Taurus, we entered the sun entered Scorpio, so often referred to as Scorpio season. And these energies they're tense, these oppositions. Taurus is embodiment, ultimately. It's very, very comfortable in the earth realm. And this recent full moon actually felt more like a new moon. We were doing there's a lot of new beginning energy, and I'll speak a bit to what happened after the Taurus moon, which is actually October 26th. So that was a start of a new galactic cycle, according to the Dream Spell calendar, which is an iteration or an offshoot of the Mayan Tzolk'in calendar. And the theme of that, this new 260-day cycle, is a cosmic restart. So also on October 26th, Venus began its ascent. It started a new 19-month cycle. And this is really significant because we're in Venus retrograde right now. And so from October 5th to October 26th, we've been going down. Venus has been going down into the shadows. We haven't been able to see her in the sky. She's been diving deep into the underworld and really reaping lessons, really being stripped and renewed, purging, descending deep into the shadow of self-worth and values and relationship, sexuality, the material world, all of this Venusian energy was going through a deep purge. And October 26th, the same day as this new 260-day galactic cycle, Venus began its ascent from the underworld. Many people say she kissed the sky. So Venus goes through these cycles of descent and ascent, and this is now a new 19-month cycle of Venus, this relationship, this self-worth energy. She's taking these lessons that she's learned deep in the underworld and emerging, rising into the purification of the sun and starting a whole new cycle, carrying more of herself with her. And Venus can represent an aspect of the feminine, of the divine feminine. So the Taurus full moon was leading up to the 26th of October, which is a very significant energy of newness, right? So Taurus, this full moon, felt like a new moon to many people. It was like we had done a lot of revisiting, and there was this spaciousness, this energy of new beginnings. The other piece of this is that Taurus full moon was, I think, 1 degree conjunct Uranus. Uranus is the great awakener. Uranus is the innovative insights. It's out of bounds new. It's Uranus rules Aquarius. So these are somewhat opposing energies, with Taurus being deep embodiment. It's the bull. It's, you know, a very solid earth energy. And then Uranus, which is just totally out there, totally innovative, very airy, very ethereal, you know, a lot of downloading from the stars and the cosmos. And so that's another element of this new beginnings, because Taurus full moon had this energy of newness with it, this out of bounds new with Uranus. So that combined with what we were preparing for with this October 26th portal is why I believe it felt like there was just, it was a fresh start. Speaking again about Scorpio and Taurus, so my friend Alex made this beautiful analogy of how when we're opposing across the astrological wheel, so when the Taurus is in the moon sign and Scorpio is in the sun sign, it's a bridge. There's an opportunity for a bridge to be created between these two signs. And at first glance, it may feel like these two don't really hang out very much. You know, they're pretty different. Scorpio's, you know, deep dive into the shadow. It's the shaman's sign. A lot of people refer to it. It is very sexually charged, very powerful, and it can have an energy of darkness. You know, Scorpio, we're in Scorpio season right now in the Northern Hemisphere, and this is the energy of Samhain, Halloween. It's the dying grass moon. You know, we're like closing out the harvest, and so there's just a huge energy of shedding and death and letting go, and that's Scorpio. And so another way to look at this is Taurus is in the Earth's shadow. So when the sun is shining in Scorpio, there's the earth is in between the sun and the moon. And so Taurus is in the shadow of the Earth as the moon is down there. And you can think of it as it's in the underbelly of Scorpio. And the other piece of this is that Venus rules Taurus. So Venus has been retrograde in Scorpio. It started its retrograde journey in the sign of Scorpio. So there's so many connections here. And if none of this is really making sense, it's okay. Stick with it. I promise just the main themes are what is like the medicine for many. I don't want this to be a huge astrological, you don't need to know a lot of astrology to listen to this and glean the lessons. That's my intention. So yeah, Venus retrograde in Scorpio is uncomfortable. Venus is not the most comfortable in Scorpio. Venus is Aphrodite energy. It's kind of a lighter beauty, sensual pleasure, harmony. And so having it in this scorpionic energy of, you know, deep diving into death and the shadow, it's really been showing up in our relationships. So this Venus retrograde for many has been a lot of initiations into mastery for our relationships with our loved ones, our romantic lovers, our family. And it's been pretty intense for many. So retrograde means it's a revisiting. We're going back and we're, looking at old lessons, it's that feeling of, I can't believe I'm here again. That's the phrase that I've heard a few different times of people, this feeling of like, oh my God, I've done this already. I did this work. I thought I was done with this. I can't believe I'm here again. A big theme of codependency has been up. People having these veils revealed by this powerful Scorpio energy and realizing that there's some codependency patterns. The codependency is really just a not being fully true to your own self. And so you merge and you start to pay more attention to other people around you than your own needs and your own desires. So a lot of that is being highlighted very strongly now because we're done with that. We don't need these codependency patterns to keep us safe anymore. And that's the medicine of this Venus retrograde in Scorpio. So if it's been really weird and challenging for you, just trust that this is all for your highest good and our highest good collectively. Because the work that each of us do in our own relationships and our own microcosm of our worlds affects the collective. It affects the macrocosm. And so you doing your deep, you know, family healing, ancestral healing, going into those really uncomfortable relationship places, feeling your rage, letting that out, getting into deep kind of resets and recentering and aligning yourself with your truth in regards to your relationships. All of that work is aligning the collective self with truth. And it's the most service. It's being of the most service. Just by you going there is serving the collective and serving us all. And this is why we're here, ultimately. We're here to unify the cosmic collective mind and return to unity. So this energy of rebirthing myself in the vein of love. I think that was a phrase from one of my virtual ceremonies last week. That's what someone said. And that really stuck with me. That feels very applicable. This, you know, birth is not easy. So rebirthing can be challenging. It is often challenging. And it's in the vein of love. It's we're going right through. This is a time of the dying grass moon. It's a time of thin veils. It's Samhain, or October 31st, is the pagan new year. It's when that we reset with the seasons. We prepare to go deep inward for winter and clear, hibernate, simply be, and prepare to emerge anew and blossom in the spring, preparing to enter winter. This is a time of lineage and family roots, past arising. If you feel called to connect with your family, whether that's in person or in real life, or simply tuning in to some past traumas or past histories that want to be revisited during this time, it's a really powerful time. And you're also able to access loved ones that have passed. This is the thin veils, right? This is the Day of the Dead, where in the Mexican tradition, there's altars created, these ofrendas, these offerings for their loved ones that have passed, the ones in their families. It's honoring our lineage. It's honoring our ancestors, a practice that has been so forgotten. And I'm sure there are many other cultures and traditions that have similar practices. And one thing I want to speak to is that this is a time to reconcile our fear of death. It's a time to realize that this is the deepest fear that we carry as humans right now at this time, is this fear of mortality, this fear of death. And as we are continuing on our path of mastery and our path of ascension, we really have the capacity to revisit this fear and to choose if we want it anymore. And this isn't to say that fear will not be, or sorry, that death will not be hard, or we won't grieve our loved ones that pass. It's to say that this culture that we've created in the West of trying to ignore death, trying to deny death, rather than embracing this as the only given in this human experience. The only thing we know for sure is that we will die right now. And that may change. But in this moment of now, death is a sure thing. And yet we pretend by putting our elders in old homes and just this independent-centric life that we've developed as a society, we pretend all this anti-aging, you know, we just pretend that death is not coming. And while this may sound somewhat morbid, it's honestly, it's just as beautiful as a flower dying over the cold months and rebirthing, being reborn as the spring and warm months come. It's the same exact thing. This is why nature has so much to teach us. And we just have these powerful minds that have created this powerful collective story that death is something to be feared and something that we don't want to look at. I spent a day last week visiting my grandfather, who is in memory care, which is where you go. It's basically the most secure part of an assisted living home, where you need the most care because these people have forgotten. Their memories are fading, and so they do wild things and they need a lot of support sometimes. And my grandfather weighs, you know, maybe 5 more pounds than I do right now, and I'm a pretty petite person. So, you know, he's this man that I remember as like over 6 feet tall probably. And served in World War II, and I remember him as this strong masculine presence in my life. And I was feeling a lot of fear before going to visit him. And my family also were actually kind of dissuading me from visiting because they were scared of what I would see. They were scared that the death would be the movement towards death, the declining of the human experience would be too much. And it was a big initiation for me. I've been around actually a good amount of death in different ways. Yet this is the first time I've been able to visit someone while they were awake, while they were conscious, yet on the journey in to this transition. And I am so glad I went. I realized that there's so many stories in my mind about what I would see, fear of what this place would be like. I kind of created this, I thought it might be like an insane asylum. Like that was the image that I was being shown. It was like all these people walking around in these gowns and just like super depressed and crazy. And, you know, I just had this whole mental trip around what it would be like. And then the fear of seeing my grandpa and, you know, would he remember me and would it be weird and this whole thing. And the second I got there, and even actually a little before, I got to this place of realizing that it's not about me. It's not. This is a transition of one of my family members. And it doesn't matter how close we are in this moment. It doesn't matter what their facility is like that they're living in. All that matters is that we can show up and give them love through this incredible portal that we all go through and that so many of us now go through alone, which is just not right. And so I encourage you during this powerful time to reach out to your elders, to connect to them, to, it doesn't matter if they don't like get you. Like the times are so different. But if, you know, they, like your grandparents, for example, or any elders in your life, like they showed up for you probably before you could even remember. And so now as they're forgetting, you can show up for them And my experience of going there was so healing for me and my family. I really just got to be present with my grandfather and bring in an energy of calmness and love, just relaxation. It was like, how can I make him as comfortable as possible with like as minimal amount of stress as possible as he's preparing? And that was profound. That was different than how my family was approaching this process. And it was really healing for all of us, in many different ways and different layers. So, and it really showed me the beauty of this, of death. It showed me this opportunity for us to come together. There's something, it's so powerful. There's only birth and death are really these experiences that can truly bring us together in a way that's, it like gets through the layers of conditioning. It gets through the layers of density. It gets through all these barriers that we've created within ourselves. When we're in these birth portals or these death portals, something transcendent happens where we access these deeper parts of our soul essence, the parts of us that know what this is, that know what dying is, and know what's beyond this veil. The month of September, when we completed the eclipse portal, that's the 9 month, and that's a month of completion. 9 is the last number before we go back to 0 or 1. And that completion energy moved us into this portal of Trinity Gates. Some people are calling it the Trinity Gates. Some people are calling it the Holy Trinity months. So October, November, December. And these gates are on the 10-10, 11-11, and 12-12. So these are really powerful opportunities to access yourself. It's a gateway into the highest potential, your highest potential as a human. So we're moving into the epicenter of these Trinity Gates, the 11-11-11 Stargate, because it's November 11th and we're in an 11 year. If so, 8 plus 2 plus 1 is 11. And this is a number of mastery. This is the number, this is the theme of the entire year that we're in. We're learning and remembering our mastery as divine humans on this planet Earth. When you see a clock and you see 11-11 on it, or you see 11-11 somewhere else throughout your day, it's kind of a divine messenger, and it's showing you that you have, the manifestation potential for you is very high. It's instantaneous. And you can also think of a snapshot of your thoughts is being taken at that moment. So it's a gateway to connect with the cosmos. It's a gateway to connect with something greater than you. So when you are going throughout your day and you see that 11-11, it often causes a moment of pause and curiosity. And the more, if you're seeing that more and more, and there's also many other number patterns that are communicating codes, you will start to feel the increase in your manifestation potential. You'll feel this shift in your being and what's happening in your life as the synchronicities become more fluid and more ingrained in your experience. So the Holy Trinity months, this is a really beautiful time to tune into what does mastery feel like for you. So as we're already deep in preparation for this November 11th Stargate, we are preparing big time. We're already feeling these energies, and we're not even in November yet. And this is giving us the opportunity to see how we used to get hooked or caught up in duality, and how we can instead open to the expanse of cosmic potential with both feet on earth here and now. And that last piece, open to the expanse of cosmic potential with both feet on earth here and now, that is a direct quote from my guide, Leah, who I mentioned at the beginning of the podcast. She often helps activate these cosmic downloads of what's happening in the stars for me. And I get a lot of my information from her and synthesize it through my own life experiences and what I'm seeing in the collective to share with you. So that's the task of what we're working with right now. And so again, it's this opportunity to see what used to throw us off center, to see where we used to get caught off guard and hooked and just go down to a spiral and lose ourselves. And now we are really in this mastery energy. I mean, this is the mastery portal of the year. And now we really get to choose. We get to choose whether we want to see those moments. We choose our awareness level. And when we do see those, we choose whether we want to revert back to our old spiral or choose the path of mastery and embody our highest potential as human in that moment and transmute whatever situation is causing this opportunity, this challenge. It's really about how to transcend duality without disconnecting from the earth. This is the path of ascension. It's about bringing light into this realm of duality. We're lighting it up from all angles right now. And one piece I want to share that is tying back to the first part of this podcast about Venus. This is also significant right now because all summer leading up to that ninth month of completion, we were doing this deep Mars retrograde work. And Mars represents the masculine. And through that work this summer, we transitioned from the Mars archetype of the 3D archetype of warrior. So when we think of Mars, we've thought of, you know, red, angry warrior energy. This masculine, like fight and action oriented, right? And through the work this summer, we've transmuted that. And Mars itself has ascended to more of a 5D archetype of the master of right action. So we have to remember that we're not the only ones ascending. It's the earth is ascending, the planets are ascending, the stars are ascending. Like, we're all doing this together. So Mars went through this deep work, and that we were definitely supporting and part of, to move from the warrior to the master of right action. And that's important because we're remembering from our masculine energy what mastery is. And now with Venus doing her deep dive, representing one of the divine feminine aspects, along with Black Moon Lilith, who many don't talk too much about, but Black Moon Lilith is hardcore doing major work for us. So Venus is doing this deep dive, this clearing, this transmutation from 3D to 5D to embody her level of mastery as well. And so as Venus emerges from this retrograde period, as she stations to go direct, it will be right around this stargate. This is just coming through right now. I didn't do these calculations, but I know this will be true. So she's emerging from retrograde. She's going to be going direct right around November 11th, 2018, which is the 11-11-11 Stargate, the Stargate of Mastery. And how incredible is this journey that we're on, where we're really doing this deep work to unify these masculine and feminine seeming polarity, polar energies within us, and finding union between the places that we've separated from ourselves. I'm so honored to be able to share this message with you, and I receive so much from sitting down and talking into my phone and trying to put these concepts into words and organization structures that will make sense and that will speak to you and that will support you in your ascension process. And I'm very new to this. I'm definitely a baby ascension guide in my own eyes. And I'm really excited to share that my teacher, Leah, my ascension guide, has created an Ascension Essentials course. So if any of what I'm saying is speaking to you and supporting you, I highly recommend checking out her Ascension Essentials offering. It will give you a foundation. She goes through the seven pillars of ascension, and this is her own work that she has curated and put together over the last 20 years. And to be able to bring these concepts into a seven pillar structure, to be able to ground and anchor the vastness of the topic of ascension into a structure that makes sense to more of our 3D mental approach is mastery. I mean, it's incredible what she's put together. I've been taking the course, and it's really working in my cells in a way that I haven't experienced before. It's not an online course. There should be a different, totally different category for what this is. It's really an activation. It's really a remembering practice for your personal embodiment and your personal ascension work. So if you are interested in checking it out, I will include the link in my show notes, and you can use the discount code Sina Maria in all caps to receive 5% off of the course, because I'm just really passionate about getting her wisdom, our wisdom, all of our wisdom out. I'm passionate about getting this message out to help all of us as we're in these deepening processes of mastery. So you can also go check out the website. It's bit.ly, so bit.ly/Ascension Foundations, and that will take you directly to her website, which you can also find in the show notes.
Thanks so much for tuning in to the Medicine of Being Human podcast. My name is Sina Maria, and this podcast is coming straight from my heart, which means I'm putting a lot of systems in place as I go. You can find this episode along with transcription and show notes at soundcloud.com/medicineofbeinghuman. And be sure to click the follow button to be notified when I post more episodes. Special thanks to Deshaun Lovelace for his transcription support, and to all of you tuning in and giving me great feedback. Lots of love, family. Thank you for being here.